720 WGN, a very happy Saturday afternoon, everybody. It's Let's Get Legal. We are powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. Ooh, and by the way, we were the cover story in the latest Illinois State Bar Association journal that Iridian is holding up now. So if you're a lawyer in Illinois and part of the ISBA, you probably got to look at the article. And shout out to all that we do here on Let's Get Legal. We love our lawyers. We love the folks that come on. If you've never listened to the show, we are every Saturday. And having said that, the time changes in the fall because of Northwestern football. But mostly every Saturday, right around 1 to 3 p.m. My name is John Hansen. I'm not a lawyer, but this is a great opportunity to ask questions about things that are happening in our everyday lives, right? We talk about high-end problems, constitutional law. We talked about immigration law a lot. That's been in the news headlines. And we talk about everyday things that affect you, whether it is personal injury law, whether it's divorce. We're going to get to that in the second hour. We haven't had a family law or lawyer on in a bit. So we're going to talk about that aspect, or if it's employment law. And when it is employment law, we get our good friend Patrick Dolan on the line, in the studio, in fact. Patrick, how are you doing today?
Good, John. How are you?
I am doing great. You're from Conti and Dolan.
I am.
The other half of you is Karen Conti. That was a weird way to say that. The other half of your firm, you know what I meant.
She's on the other side of my wall.
She's on the other side of your wall.
Yeah.
Is she a good wall mate?
Yeah, she's great. She's great in the office.
Karen Conti, who is on Sundays on WGN when not preempted by sports from 3 to 5 in the afternoon, and you can hear her all throughout the show, all these shows on WGN as our legal eagle, she seems like she'd be tough in the courtroom. If I were to walk in and I saw Karen Conti on the other side, I'd be a little afraid.
She's very prepared,
yes.
And she's tough. But she's also really fair. I think she's a really great lawyer, actually.
She's also like the nicest person.
She's super nice.
When you're on her good side.
Yeah, when you're on her good side.
But if I'm on the other side of the courtroom, I feel like I'd be on her bad side.
Yeah, but, I agree.
Sure. All right, well, that's one half. So Karen does what?
She does family law.
She does family law.
You know, divorce, alimony, custody, all that kind of stuff.
And you do employment law, which we've chatted many times, but if someone's listening to you for the first time, what does that mean?
So anything to do with the workplace. It could be a contract issue, a discrimination issue. It could be a compensation issue. You know, whistleblower, retaliation, anything to do with your job that's not really injury related. I'm not a workers' comp lawyer.
Okay. And we have those folks that do that as well.
And they're really good.
Theri Eld Booth.
Yep.
And we have them on the show a lot. So if something's happening at work or with their family, call Conti Dolan, you'll figure it out.
Right. And at home or in the office.
312-332-7800 is your phone number. Yep. I know you get a lot of calls from WGN listeners. You're always happy to chat it out with them, aren't you?
Yeah, and I talk to folks a lot after the show who have maybe follow-up questions or new questions or heard me, and it just gave them a thought. And, you know, like, you know, I have a question about something in the workplace, and so I'm happy to address those.
You and I have been talking now for about a year or so,
yeah.
Patrick, huh?
Yeah.
And for a year, we've been saying those layoffs are right around the corner. And we've had some, no doubt, in certain industries.
Yeah.
But the most recent jobs report was, 376,000 new jobs added. Does that mirror what you're seeing in the work that you do? Are a lot of people coming to you with layoff problems, or are a lot of people saying, I just got hired somewhere?
Yeah, no, I think it mirrors it. It is an ebb and flow as far as employment contracts go, but right now we're not seeing more separations, and we did go through a lot of separation agreements. So I agree. It feels like we're seeing more contracts than separation agreements.
Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that people aren't getting laid off. It happens, right?
No, I just think that they find jobs. I think that's the difference. Whereas before it was very difficult to find a job, I think now it's easier, especially in some industries.
Right. There are still roughly 2 job openings for every person who is unemployed.
Yep.
And that certainly is on the other on the good end of historic. Whether the market loves it or not is a whole other discussion.
That's right.
One that we can have Monday through Thursday nights at 6 p.m. on Your Money Matters, and we certainly will. Patrick, what are people coming to you for these days? What is a big topic of mine?
I think a lot of people are concerned about non-compete issues. You know, they sign something when they onboard that says they can't work for a competitor when they leave, and invariably they leave,
mm-hmm.
and they ask me, what can I do? And by the way, I don't think non-competes are enforceable. And
that's what the person says to you.
That's what the person says. That's what they think. But that's not correct. So non-compete agreements are enforceable in Illinois and a lot of different states.
I've definitely signed a non-compete before and go, they're not going to sue me for this. Turns out they could.
They could. And what normally happens, though, is, you know, you'll get a letter sent to you after you start a new job, or if they think that you're going to go to a competitor and they say, don't do that. So it really dissuades you from considering a position that frankly may or may not be prohibited by a non-compete.
Interesting. So they will try to scare you out of taking
all
it in the first
time.
Place. Really?
All the time. Well, you know what? I think a non-compete dissuades you in the first place.
Right.
So, you know, I see a lot of non-compete provisions that are not enforceable as written, let alone as they're applied to whatever this person wants to do and where they want to go. Maybe it's not really a competitor. Maybe they're doing something very different than the job they're in, but that they leave. So it's not really enforceable, but they think that it is, and so they don't pursue that job. And frankly, most people don't go to a lawyer and say, is this non-compete enforceable? And they just don't take the job.
So what you're saying is that a lot of companies are a little over their skis in their non-compete clauses that they write down. They are a little provocative in trying to scare you from taking a job at a competitor. Having said that, there still is a legal basis for non-competes in Illinois, and they could win.
They could. And, you know, there are a couple of hard lines now. For example, if you make less than $75,000 a year, no matter what that non-compete says, it is
In Illinois,
it is not enforceable.
Under $75,000.
For a non-compete.
For a non-compete, no matter what, they cannot enforce. If you make $74,999, you're
doesn't
doing
matter.
Sales, and you go literally across the street and you say bye, and you walk into the office across the street that's called competitor sales to your previous company. You sign up and you work there, you're fine.
Absolutely, 100%.
Okay.
And for a non-solicit, which means to asking employees you used to work with to come work with you, or asking clients or customers who you used to work with to now do business with you at the new place, that threshold is $45,000. So that's a lower threshold.
Okay. I want to get into non-solicits a little bit later
on.
Sure. You're going to make my brain explode,
okay.
Patrick Dolan.
Okay.
Even though you and I
Sorry.
Talked a lot about
yep.
this. Okay. So the non-compete, you're making over $75,000. Is it laid out in the your onboarding how long it lasts for? Is there a state law of how long they can last for after you work? Like, what are the parameters in which the non-compete exists?
So most non-competes will include three components. They have to include three components, and most do. One is the length. It's usually 2 years that you're not allowed to compete after you leave. Okay. Some can be 1 year, some can be 6 months, can be 3 or 4 years, although that's really pushing it.
And those are all okay. Those parameters are.
The ones that are like 3 and 4 and 5 years, and, you know, just are much more difficult for a company to enforce, but most are not that long. Most are like 1 to 2 years.
Right.
That's fully enforceable on its own.
If it was like 4 years, I'd be like, dude, I was not that good at this job.
And also, you don't remember.
Even, yeah, if anything, send me to your competitor. Probably bring them down with me. That's a long time. So most are 6 months, a year, 2 years, something
that's right.
like that.
And that's okay. The other one is geography. Where are you not allowed to work? And the geography prohibition needs to be based on where the company does business. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If they only do business in Illinois, you can't say the U.S. or the world.
Okay.
So it has to reflect what the reality of the company's situation is in terms of where they do business. That's number two.
Well, hold on. Let me ask about that. Let's say you're working out of Chicago, but your region, and it's so funny trying to think of like jobs in this world because I'm just a guy on the talks on the radio. But let's say I sell train parts for a train manufacturing company. Those do exist. I worked for one in a factory.
Okay.
I'll tell you that story another day.
Okay.
Or off the air. Yeah, let's do it off the air. Okay, and my region of selling is the Southwest, but I'm based out of Chicago, and I want to go to another train company that's based out of Chicago, but the region where I would sell would be here. Would that non-compete not be okay?
So it depends on...
Hey, lawyer.
Right. It depends. I love the word depend. It depends on what you're doing, like where you're doing the work. But the most important part, believe it or not, is where the company has business. Because if the person only sells, let's just say the Chicagoland, okay? But the company does business throughout the Midwest or the U.S., their prohibition is not going to be just in the Chicagoland. Now, okay, probably not. I would argue that it should be, but there's no way that non-compete is going to say that.
Okay.
What it's going to say is you can't compete in Illinois, the Midwest, or all of the U.S., no matter what you do, because the concern is you'll get a customer, a client that does business with the company that may be outside your region, but maybe you knew them somehow while you worked there. So they try to stretch that, but it can only be stretched as far as where the company does business.
I asked you a very specific question that may be the strangest question I've ever asked someone about being a train sales parts distributor.
Yes.
But that's just what popped in my head. 312-981-7200 is our phone number. 312-332-7800 is Conti and Dolan. We're chatting with Patrick Dolan about all things employment law. Okay, so the non-compete is under that $75,000 threshold in Illinois. No go, doesn't work, non-enforceable. Over that amount is, and the parameters are the length of it.
Yes.
Where the business is done. What about
geography?
The type of work you would do with inside a company?
Well, that's John. John, that's point number three.
Hey, look at that.
Are you sure you're not a lawyer?
I've just talked to you a lot about this.
So number three is what you do. Now, this is where the non-compete usually falls down because it usually says you won't work in any capacity mm-hmm. for this quote-unquote competitive business, right? That's not the law. The law is same or similar. You can only be prohibited from doing a same or similar job that you did before. So that's the third parameter. Now, does it bring the whole thing down if it doesn't say that point number three? No, but it gives me something to argue, saying it's overbroad, therefore it's unenforceable on its face.
How do these things usually play out?
Okay.
A company sends a letter, someone calls you and says,
yes.
I got this letter.
Yes.
Does this usually work out?
It does usually work out, although how it works out depends on
what do you mean?
your employer, the company, so who it works out well for? Okay,
okay.
But you know, there's a real disparity in bargaining power here, right? So I represent the individual, the company. This person has left their job. They are either wanting to or do work for, quote unquote, a competitive company. Mm-hmm. Okay,
you won't even give it that. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. No, I'm not going to give in on anything.
I'm just going to say a quote unquote. This hypothetical, you can't even rep. Okay. Go ahead.
There's no way. So this person says, okay, I just got this letter. They call me. I don't know them. They call me and they're like, I just got this letter and it's really mean. And they say, it says, quit your job. We're going to sue you. You violated the non-compete. You've worked with customers. You owe us all this money because we lost profits, blah, blah, blah. So it's a really nasty letter. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
They send it to me. I look at it and say, okay, listen, explain your situation. Let's go through all of these different factors. Then I contact the company's lawyer who sent the letter and said, listen, here are the reasons why A, your agreement's not enforceable under Illinois law, or B, not applied to this. It's not enforceable as applied to this person because they're doing something different or they're
poking holes in it.
Totally. All the time. And so we do like a back and forth, back and forth. What happens almost every time is that there's an agreement that is worked out that determines what the person can do, what they can't do.
Maybe for how long they can't.
For how long, okay. Which customers they can work with, which ones they can't. You know, you just have to kind of go through all the different elements. But that agreement is reached almost every time.
And that's why you want a lawyer.
Yeah, because honestly, if you got that, if someone just gets that letter and looks at it and like, oh my God, I have to quit my job.
Right.
You know what I mean? No, you don't have to quit your job. Okay?
Right.
Now, sometimes it's the case where if someone left the company, worked with like their biggest customer, maybe there's confidential information, proprietary trade secret stuff on top of it, and it really is harmful to the business, then that company may just run into court seeking an injunction, trying to get that employee to immediately
stop
working for them.
Right.
But that's not the norm.
Okay. So you're usually able to work something out,
yes.
Or you'll at least shepherd them through this lawsuit that could come or
yeah,
whatever it might be.
Yeah. And like these lawsuits tend to be really condensed because for a whole host of reasons. So they can be time-consuming, expensive, and stressful. So you really try to work them out.
Okay, that makes sense to me.
And most of them are worked out.
Yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to get at, is that
right.
You get a big, scary letter, take it seriously, of
yeah.
course, call Patrick Dolan. He can at least shepherd you through whatever journey this ends up going on.
Let me add a couple other points. Okay. So they also, one sort of fear the person has is, have they contacted their current employer? And did that person have a conversation with their current employer before they were hired? Did they show them the non-compete? Did they say they had a non-compete? Did they sign an application which says, do you have something that should prohibit you from working here? And you say no. You know, so it's sort of all of that bubbles up at that point, and then that's something that you have to deal with. And so I end up talking with the lawyer for the current employer and say, okay, listen, let's just work this through. The person can stay employed there. You like them. They like you. Let's just work through this together. So that's another aspect of it.
Is a company allowed to reach out to another company?
Well, yes. And oftentimes it actually is in the contract of the departed person, right? If you go to get
departed from the company.
Right. Then you need to show the new company the non-compete. Yeah. So, yeah, they can.
Okay.
You know, there could be what's called a tortious interference claim. Like if they assert that they're trying to, enforce a non-compete, and they don't do that successfully, and the person loses their job because the new company is so afraid about fees and all that kind of stuff, and they, so they get fired. So then that person could have a tortious interference claim.
A tortious interference?
That means that...
You don't have to explain it. That was my college band name. We're out of time with this first segment. We got to take a break. Patrick Dolan, 312-332-7800. More with him after this break in the news on Let's Get Legal on WGN. It's a Saturday afternoon, everyone. This is Let's Get Legal. We're powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. And in their journal, you can read our article, Let's Get Legal, the cover article. Don't laugh at me, Patrick Dolan.
I'm sorry.
They were flattering photos.
No,
it was
really
a great
nice.
Article. It was a nice article.
Really nice, John.
About what we do. That's a journal for lawyers amongst lawyers. I actually had to come and get it from our sales department. I should probably sign up. Am I able to sign up, Iridian? Let's look at that.
It's not on your coffee table?
It will be.
Right?
I got
many
a copy.
Copies. Many copies.
Many
copies.
Marcia wants one. That's my mother.
It's a nice Christmas present.
To two other people to give an article that I was in.
Stocking stuffer.
Would that? Okay, fair. I'm like, I don't think that would pass for a gift. Me giving them. Oh, I guess if I autographed it.
Right. Oh, sure.
Here you go, Drew.
Everybody wants that, John.
Yes. I was like, boy, Christmas was cheap this year.
Listen, if I don't get one, I'm going to be really disappointed now.
I'll get you one here. I just don't have one right now for you,
right,
Patrick. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're an employment lawyer, part of Conti and Dolan. We spent the first half hour talking about non-competes, which is a lot of your business, right? A lot of people. And also, I just want to frame who you are. And this is not meant in a mean way, Patrick. Oh. It's that you used to work for the companies.
I did, yeah. No, I started out my legal career the first 10 or 12 years working for employers in employment situations. So I know what they're thinking pretty well and the tactics they use in litigation and all that kind of stuff.
Exactly. Audrey Anderson, who's another guest here on the show frequently, she works now as a defense lawyer, spent years in the state's attorney's office as a prosecutor. I think the best defense lawyers are the ones that probably spent some time on the other side of the aisle.
100%. You learn so much working on the other side.
Exactly. Like, you know the letters that they're going to send.
Yeah, and you know what? It's also it takes a little wind out of their sails, because I was like, okay, I start out the conversation with I used to be you, and so I know what you're going to say, so don't say it.
Wow. I used to be you. That sounds like a parent punishing their child. Be like, anything you did, I did that 25 years ago. I know what trick you're playing. But that's kind of what it is.
It is. That's exactly what it is.
All right.
And I want them to know it.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. Is your letterhead really good, Conti and Dolan letterhead? Do you have a stamp that looks like your face or something like that?
No. No, it's a beautiful letterhead, though.
I bet. Karen
just
picked it. Yeah.
She did.
Okay, so we talked about non-competes. Under $75,000, non-compete, non-enforceable. And part of it is because of lawsuits that have been brought or challenges from people working at, sandwich shops who went from one chain to another being sued for a non-compete. I don't know what trade sandwich secrets, and I'm not trying to demean people in those jobs. It's a hard job. They're working hard. But I don't know what trade secret you're bringing from one place to the other. And eventually everyone said, that's not cool.
It's so unfair. And that's exactly where this whole thing started, right? Because there's absolutely no reason why that person can't get the same job at a different sandwich maker.
Right. If you're that important, you need to pay someone that much.
Of course.
Right. So that's all. Like, a lot of middle managers listening now make under $75,000. People just starting their careers. And I'd say, if you want them to be part of a non-compete, you got to pay them $75,000, right?
Yeah, I agree. It's just inherently unfair.
It is. Okay. We have a question from the 312
okay.
about consecutive hours worked before a break
yeah.
for hourly employees.
Yep.
This is something that a lot of people go through. They work a job and they work 8 straight hours without a break, and that's not allowed, right?
It's not. Yeah. So if you work a shift, let's say your shift is 7 or 8 hours. After 5, you're not supposed to. It is required under Illinois law that you provided a half an hour meal break, unpaid meal break.
Unpaid. Like, so you got to clock out.
You have to clock out. And I know some folks don't really like that. They don't want to clock out. They want to take a 10-minute meal break
right.
and then leave early or something. You really do, because, and the company wants you to as well. Because if you don't, then they're liable for that time. They have to pay you for that time. And if they don't, then it could be a real problem. And if there's a lot of people over a long period of time that don't take that full half hour, clock in and clock out, it's a real problem for the company. So actually, both sides really need to comply with the law.
So an 8-hour day is really 8.5 hours.
It is.
With a half hour clocked out.
That's right.
Okay. And different companies probably have different policies. Can they mandate, no, the way we do it is 4 hours, 1 hour break, 4 hours as well? I mean, different companies can do it different ways, right? As long as they provide that half
yeah,
hour.
Yeah, it's the minimum. That's the minimum.
Okay.
And there's also a 20-minute rest break that most companies have, although that's not mandated. The thing that's mandated is the half hour break after 5 hours. If you have 5 hours of a consecutive shift, you have to get a half hour meal break unpaid.
We've had people text in before. In fact, the 773 is right now.
Okay.
Am I allowed to go off campus during those 30 minutes?
You can do anything you want, John.
That's what I'm saying.
Anything you want.
Yeah. This isn't the 773, but I remember a couple months ago, a teacher was being reprimanded for going to eat lunch in her car.
Yeah, I remember that too. And it's actually better for the company if you're not, well, I'm not saying they want you to go out and run around, but
right.
but if you sit inside a lunchroom or at your desk, there's the threat that you may be working, and they don't want you to work.
Right.
Because then you could come back and say, gee, I actually had to work during that time.
Right.
So they really want that time to be yours. So, John, do whatever you want.
You better believe it.
Yeah.
Hourly employees, paid time off in Illinois,
yeah.
a new thing this year in terms of sick days, right?
Yes. Yep, that's right. So, and it is non-management, folks.
Okay.
So you're permitted, you must be granted 40 hours throughout a year of paid sick leave. And it accrues monthly, accrues prorated every month.
Okay.
So that's something new. We never had mandated paid sick leave, certainly not on the federal level. And now it's a state-by-state thing, which is actually becoming much more common.
Well, I mean, it absolutely should be. I mean, come on, you're working this much. Now, do you have to have a threshold? So you accrue it for the hours you work.
Yes.
Monthly.
Yes. Well, it's actually hourly, but that it's given to you monthly typically.
Do you have to have worked a certain amount of hours to start accruing that?
No. It starts when you start working. So in other words, you don't have to work for a year or 6 months or whatever it is. You get that when you start.
I know I'm putting you on the spot a little bit with
yeah.
the law, and I know you probably can't memorize every aspect of it. Is
mm-hmm.
it wage dependent? You said management doesn't necessarily qualify for this. There's some threshold in which you do qualify. I mean, I think we know who we're talking about. Maybe it's fast food workers, people serving in. I mean, there's certain people that qualify for this and others that don't, right?
Yeah, I think that's pretty vague as to management, non-management.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so people, you're entitled to those breaks. We've come a long way in employment law, haven't we?
A long way, and this is one of those indicators, you know, that'll just show you that. I mean, we have a lot of catching up to do. I mean, if you look at, you know, employment laws of most European countries, certainly Canada, I mean, we're just not even close, you know?
Right.
They have a lot of paid leave. Child rearing leave, you know, that's really long, like mandated paid leave, that's 6 months, you know, and termination scenarios are really different, much more favorable to the employees. So we have a ways to go to get to those levels. But I think we've addressed some concerns, a lot of them around sick leave.
All right. Patrick Dolan, where can people reach you? We're not done with you yet, just in case people are out of the car.
312-332-7800.
And you're happy to chat with people if they got questions, concerns?
Absolutely.
All right, 312-332-7800. That's Patrick Dolan of Conti and Dolan Law. I kind of want to pick up from there and talk a little bit about the labor movement as a whole. Boy, there's a lot in the news and has been for weeks about it. We'll do that after a quick break here on WGN. 720 WGN, Let's Get Legal, powered by the Illinois State Bar Association. It's going to be family law in the next hour, and this hour is employment law. Patrick Dolan from Conti and Dolan joins us and continues our conversation. Everyone gets reviewed, or most people get reviewed, right? Once a year, once every 6 months.
They should.
Every now and then you might get investigated for something. You have rights in those scenarios, don't you?
You do. And, you know, oftentimes the person who's being investigated vehemently deny the allegations. Maybe it stems from a workplace dispute with a colleague who you just don't get along, and they file something that you think is absolutely wrong, or a boss that says something, says you did something wrong and you don't think you did. And so under those scenarios, if it leads to a performance improvement plan or something like that that they present you, that's in writing. Most people don't know, John, that you have the right under Illinois law to respond in writing and have your response be in your personnel file.
So this is if you get quote-unquote written up, or what do they call it now? Performance?
Performance Improvement Plan. PIP. which to me...
HR, I swear. I love you. I love you all. I love your positive spin on this. Performance Improvement Plan.
Yeah, I will just
tell... That's a nice way to say it.
It is, and it's not at all what it means. Like, it's just... Performance Improvement Plan should mean that, hey, we just want you to get better. That's not really what it typically means. It means like, hey, we think you're on your way out the door.
It's a CYA.
Yeah.
Cover your blank.
Yeah, that's exactly. But not all the
not
time.
Always. I don't want to freak anyone out.
No.
They got
it's
a PIP.
It's not always the case, but oftentimes the writing's on the wall.
Yeah. There's a joke there somewhere about Scottie Pippen getting a PIP for not playing in that one game in the last few seconds. But let's just leave it where it is.
Okay, we will.
312-981-7200. Text in the joke, people. I'd like to see the way you frame it. Okay, so you're allowed to respond in writing.
Yes.
And should we?
You should.
Why?
Because, good question, John.
Mm.
Because if you're terminated, and if you think you've been treated unfairly based on race, discrimination, age, religion, sexual orientation, whatever it may be, then you need to show that the reason the company terminated you, because they claim you were not a good performer, you responded to in writing telling them all the reasons they're wrong.
Hmm.
It's very helpful to someone like me.
It's paper trail.
It is. To say, oh, no, they disagreed with that when you told them that.
Right, because if there's a lawsuit or there's some future dispute and you have to lay down your papers against your boss's papers, if it's all them and you've never said, wait.
I know.
You're not going to win, most likely.
And I know it's difficult, and some folks are nervous about what that means in terms of retaliation, et cetera. But listen, just acknowledge that you received the PIP or whatever it is, okay? Don't say you agree with it. If they say, you have to sign it, we're giving this to you. At the bottom, it says in really small letters, I acknowledge and agree that these things,
happened,
blah, blah, blah.
No.
So you have to be really careful. Cross that out and say, I acknowledge receipt. And then sign it so you're not insubordinate, John.
Whoa, okay.
And then respond in writing. It could be in an email to the HR and your boss, if your boss is involved, and say, please put this in my file with this PIP.
It's a personal explanation note.
It is.
So we have a PIP and we have a PIN. A PIPIN. See, the joke was there. We just had to form it. So everyone respond.
I knew you'd get there.
Well, this is how we remember things, right?
That's
we remember
good.
Things with acronyms.
That's right.
If you get a PIP, you get the PIN.
Yeah.
Okay. PEN. The PIP PEN. We got to stop before they take me off the air. Did I mention we were in a magazine for how good this show is? Okay, so that's important. Have it in writing. What about like performance reviews? Be an active participant in those, I imagine, right?
Big
because
time.
They're going to give you like suggestions, and it's very easy just to be like, I agree. and I'll do this better, right? Like, and I've done this too, where you're just like, whatever, clickety-clack. No, be detailed in those.
I know. You need to be, because, again, if you don't, the assumption, if I look at it 2 years later, is that you agreed. And so you need to respond, even though you don't want to be, you know, acrimonious or whatever. Mm-hmm. You need to respond in writing, because HR or whoever, they're just not going to remember it the way you told it to them.
Aren't most files digital now? Do I need to like send it there and watch them like drag it into the folder and like be like, it's in there?
Listen, as long as you have an email that you might want to print out and keep hard copy in your own folder at home.
Yep.
Because if, you know, when you leave for whatever circumstance, your email's coming down immediately. Mm-hmm. And so you don't have access to that stuff anymore. So from my perspective, you know, keep that stuff somewhere safe and confidential because you may need it. Issues like that.
Can I see my file? Am I allowed to be like, what do you got on me?
You are.
Really?
You are allowed to just do it. Yeah. Under Illinois law, the Illinois Personnel Records Review Act, John, to be specific.
Banging my head into the microphone.
I know you are now. You're asleep.
Uh-huh.
That allows you to look at your file and get a copy of it.
Okay. And should people do that every now and then? Just to make sure there wasn't something sneaky in there?
They should do it all the time.
Really?
No, I'm kidding. No, they should...
I was like, wow, okay.
No, I don't know. Once a year is fine.
Once a year.
If you think something's going on, because as a lawyer, when I bring clients on, they sign an authorization for me to get the file. I ask for it immediately.
Right.
Before they can maybe do some stuff with it.
I'm going to go to the text line for some rapid fire questions.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you ready to go?
Yes, do it.
Okay. Can they look at all my emails on a work computer?
Yes.
Okay.
They can't get into like your Gmail, but right. Yeah, you have almost no privacy on a work computer.
Can I get fired for complaining about my boss?
Yes, but there's a lot of red flags there. But if you decide, I don't like him, he's hard to work with, he or she, hard to work with, blah, 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 you can get fired for that. But if you're complaining about harassment or something like that, that's retaliation.
Can they make me come into the office? I was working under the presumption that I didn't have to. Now they want us all back in the office.
Excellent question. I get that a lot now. They can make everyone come back to the office, but only if everyone has to come back to the office. I got a call from somebody recently. It seems like it was only this person who had to come back to the office.
Really?
And she had a little a disability issue. So suddenly she has to come back to the office. So as long as it's consistent, yes, they can do that.
If they make everyone come into the office who's over the age of 40, that's age discrimination?
Yeah, I think that's, yes. You're getting this, John.
Well, most people over 40 are like, all right, let's go back to work.
Yeah.
I'm painting with a broad brush. I shouldn't do that. Where can people reach you at, Patrick?
312-332-7800.
I always appreciate your time.
Thanks, John. Thank you
so much for joining us. Okay, we're going to do divorce law in the next hour of Let's Get Legal. That comes after this break and news from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN.